Again, open on dust, Jemurajo, Idamaguru, Ranamadela, Bani, Antoyan,
Samaji,
Chedo, Toji, Jonama, Sanju, Pado, Dane, Chasun, Tahi, Jugu, Nibe, Sonam, Tian, Dolo, Teje, Sanji, Rukurajo,
Samaji, Chedo, Toji, Jonama, Sanju, Pado,
Dane, Chasun, Tahi, Jugu, Nibe, Sonam,
Dolo, Teje, Sanji, Rukurajo, Sangwanji, Tito Bashevi Cheto, Kamichiro Majisen, and Bekano Sanju Semchi, Se Sembe Gon, and Sembrekyo.
We must all strive to accomplish the complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. And it's for that reason we should cultivate the altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation. And with that kind of motivation, we should all participate in this teaching. I believe that all of us are seeking liberation from cyclic existence, samsara, and complete enlightenment. And in order to fulfill these spiritual goals, we are participating in and cultivating dharma or spirituality.
Well, that the chair on the German in the gun on the was long to drop a lot on the thing. It's on the thing you need risk on this.
And it is said that in order for us to make a meaningful advancement or progress in spiritual development, it is important to find what is known as a suitable life basis. As a matter of fact, all of us are very fortunate indeed in that we have the suitable life basis to make meaningful advancement in spiritual development. All of us are enjoying this precious human life, which is characterized by 8 freedoms and 10 enriching factors. And because of that, our life is a very suitable life basis for spiritual development. We have taken countless rebirths in the cyclic existence of samsara. However, maybe it is probably this time that we have found this kind of precious human life, which is very suitable for spiritual practice and development. The reason for saying that is this kind of life, as it is stated in Buddhist literatures, is very difficult to find, and it is a rare kind of life.
We
do not simply have to rely upon scriptural statements or quotations to understand the rarity and the difficulty to find this kind of precious human life. But we could also use, valid reasoning, if you will, to understand the same thing. You know, if we had, created necessary causes and conditions to have this kind of life, then we should have found this kind of life, many times before. And also, like, given our present situation, we can also understand that in our past lives, we really did not have opportunities or did not create lots of positive causes and conditions, to have a better kind of rebirth.
That are the pain of singing a name, the Mikilate, Lord Mambuchi, the Lord Jasham, and said, that Jack gave that gentleman. Then me, Longa said, Tan Tong men, and you might kill him, make it top to the song beginner. Kotakur Gasu came with his singer was. Then I had a child, you might get a
customer.
Then you might kill him, make the
time.
Let's consider
a situation where an individual has remained blind pretty much whole of his lifetime, say almost 100 years, and then for whatever reason, that one day all of a sudden he gains his sight and is able to see everything for the first time. You know, how wonderful that experience must be for the person, and how rare is that kind of a moment to come into one's life. So that example could be used to illustrate the point here that it's very hard to find this kind of precious human life over and again. Nonetheless, we have found it this time. You know, we have spent many lifetimes, in some other, forms of rebirth, but it is as if this is the first time we have found precious human life. So therefore, we should be very delighted by that fact, and we should, make most out of it.
No, no. That's all that can take, and the boom choke go on attack, carry go over, and that's your mango toma me up in the side, big with the driver mango chioris. That is younger canon. Proper leaders on nay, chavis. That when you can run to so start driver jans that Leganese were, could do his work, Leganese your. The niche and none any driver joint kitchen chamber canon.
Having found this wonderful, precious human life or fully endowed human form, we as spiritual practitioners need to do two things to make our life, much more meaningful. And what I'm talking about here is we need to, purify negative karmic actions that we have accumulated from many past lives, and also the negativities we have accumulated in this lifetime, and we need to engage in positive actions. So that's what often we talk about, the practice of purification and accumulation. We need to purify ourselves of delusions and negativities that we have accumulated from many, many lifetimes before, and which is actually more important as compared to even accumulating in considering our situation at the moment, accumulating merit or positive actions. So once we recognize that we need to purify ourselves of negativities, but how can we do that? You know, what method is available to us? What kind of spirituality is available to us? So that's why, you know, spirituality becomes very important. In a general sense, that any kind of practice that we do, whether the practice belongs to what we call the vehicle of discourses or sudrayana, or whether it belongs to esoteric vehicle or tantrayana, any kind of spiritual practice that we do, which belongs to both sutra and tantra, is an antidote to counteract our deluded states of mind and purify our negativities.
You certainly say your matter. In the future, new today's future should not do like this, okay? Oh yeah. That diversion with Taki Mambo have been nani, and that so Chichu Kichu Kardis and Anish, and you just same go matter, Chagui, yes?
There are many practices or the methods that we could do in order to purify negativities, but the most powerful, one of the most powerful practice available to us is to cultivate altruism, the altruistic mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta within ourselves.
Question, you just same gombatita, because you are keen to imbat the juzi hakukres.
So how can we say that developing bodhicitta is one of the most powerful practices to purify negativities? What reasons are there? Because it's important to understand reasons behind that.
Nazu ta dikwa sadi chani sa sa ge le betle ani ye senje ne ten sabata ani ya ta sheyu le ten sabata ta de ni yares.
When we think of, how we create and accumulate negativities, or in relation to whom we create accumulate negativities, we can think in terms of two referent, what we call the objects. One, we accumulate negativities in relation to objects of refuge. Or in other words, those in whom we take refuge, we do a lot of negativities in relation to them. But another way is that we accumulate a lot of negativities in relation to sentient beings as our referent objects.
That the nani ta mawa because sasa mawa te sentient in the sagaris.
So given that those are the two, referent points, perhaps points is better than object, because object, but that's the lack of the better word in English here. We accumulate negative ideas a lot more, in relation to sentient beings as compared to objects of refuge or holy beings. I think if you think about this matter, I think you will be able to figure out how we do that. But I'll maybe very briefly give you some pointers.
Voilà. Penas ane luci gone so ki majili mitan chosta nu senita mazan se sigo mata loim sen. Ane subote sigi singe ten chego dwas.
Let's consider the three negative actions of body: killing, stealing, and indulging in adultery or sexual misconduct. All of these negativities of body are done and accumulated in relation to sentient beings.
What sentient beings? And then that pen and ag money, zoom chama to achel.
And the four negativities of the speech are lying and causing disharmony or division among friends and people, using harsh words of speech, and idle gossiping. Now all of these negativities of speech are again done with reference to or in regard to others. And also the three negativities of mind: covetousness, harmful intent, and distorted views or the wrong views. These are also, done and accumulated in relation to other sentient beings.
That rank, luta ngata yisumge. So me give lesang lesani.
So the point I'm trying to make here is other sentient beings constitute the referent point for a lot of negative actions, body, speech, and mind. For the negative actions, not even body, but for negative actions of body, speech, and mind that we do and accumulate.
All right. That's so that. That rank, we give the size of the sink and the Sava Yusani, that is Jangusani. They put the Jangusani, you sink it in the Jangus.
Now, because we do a lot of negativities in relation to sentient beings, in order to purify such negativities, we also need to, do practice in relation to sentient beings.
That the imbade, that.
In the Lamrim or treatises on the graded path to enlightenment, a number of examples are given to illustrate this point. And one of the examples is that if we fall down on a particular spot, we have to get up on that very spot. In other words, we have to rely upon the very particular spot or the ground to stand up. As we can see that if you fall down here, this is where you have to get up. If you fall over there, you have to get up there. I mean, you cannot fall here and get up over there. I mean, can you?
The thing around the pay Zambu Kibuji pay our Kibuji race says that there was Sasate, he is sinking and starving in Sunny, there was Jandizani, he is sinking in Jangu race, Kanangu race.
So I think that example is a really good example for us to understand that if we do a lot of negativities in relation to sentient beings, then it is in relation to them that we need to purify our negativities. And that makes sense.
The next song is yanda ba zobi sanji ji kumpan top na istami di topi top di rangi shingi istami do si ni sanu chenpo ji tangu ya di shuk ji ene bimbo mongi tangu ya res.
So how is that when we cultivate bodhicitta or altruism, bodhisattva's attitude that you know we are considering the well-being of sentient beings? Now, as you know, that when we cultivate altruism or bodhicitta, what we are really doing is that we very much wish all sentient beings to reach complete enlightened state, and in order to fulfill that wish, you know, we are seeking our own enlightenment as a means to that end. And so because we think about all sentient beings, so bodhicitta really takes into its fold, if you will, all sentient beings without, you know, discrimination.
So that, Sanju just emre, Nijie Chimbo Tan, Ani, Shamba Chimbo Jibutita, Sekil Ten, Gomba Tichita,
So the related practices to that of developing bodhicitta, such as developing love or mahamaitri, great love, and great compassion or mahakaruna, all these you know, positive you know, attitudes are cultivated you know, considering the well-being of other sentient beings or with regard to other sentient beings. These wonderful attitudes which I just kind of highlighted, great love, great compassion, bodhicitta of altruism, these are something that we must cultivate through meditational practice. And so what does cultivation practice involve here is, let's use compassion as an example, great compassion. We, you know, sincerely wish all sentient beings, without making any discrimination or leaving anybody out, to be free from suffering and causes of suffering. So this is the kind of attitude that we cultivate, which is called compassionate attitude. Because it's a great compassion, it must be unbiased towards all sentient beings. There's nobody to be left out or discriminated against. We sincerely wish from the depth of our mind and heart that, you know, how nice it would be if sentient beings are free from suffering and its causes. May they be free from suffering and its causes. May I be able to help them to be free from suffering and its causes. So that's how we cultivate, you know, great compassion.
So
in our everyday life, if we cultivate such a, you know, powerful compassion or compassionate mind, which is basically wishing all sentient beings to be free from suffering and its causes, when that kind of compassion is present in our mind, it is manifested within ourselves, we cannot harm and hurt anybody. You know, if compassion is manifestly present in our mind and heart, you know, we are not going to hurt and harm anyone.
So,
how we end up hurting and harming others is because basically we don't care about that. You know, because we don't care about the sufferings that they experience. We don't care, you know, how much suffering they experience. So when we don't care, when we don't feel compassion to and for sentient beings, then we find ourselves hurting and harming others.
So the thought, nigi gombe yina nigi gomne, tele nyuwanda tembe yina ani sinkin busi yin chile tan nyuwa mishi yach, chagu yoris de.
So once we train our mind to cultivate great compassion, so as we really experience, in a sense of great compassion, when there is experience being developed within us, then we are not even going to hurt even the smallest of insect.
No, no. That taga na yeka ani shamba chimbo randilis no siya shamba gomni shamba gombi na ta shamba gombi is migwa siya tangil migres namba te ani dewate dendich ngavate kugur.
Now let's say we want to cultivate great love or maha-maitri to and for sentient beings. Of course, our focus is all sentient beings. They are the focal point for our great love. But great love differs from compassion in terms of its subjective experience. In terms of his subjective experience, great love wishes all other sentient beings to be happy and to find the causes of happiness. So as we cultivate great love for sentient beings, and we really wish all beings to be happy, to find the causes of happiness, when great love is present manifestly in our heart and mind, then we will always take delight and joy when others are doing well, when they are happy, when they are doing well. We are not going to be jealous, envious of others when they do well.
Shamba da hingi ane thamki sengi sengi jili shero shewa ina ane parse ta zambi ni sinna mindu ta an jitin chi khanu te bishi pizu zoba ta yunga ta chabrish ta.
So if we cultivate great love and great compassion, let's assume that all of us, everybody experience great love and great compassion. So basically, we sincerely wish, everybody to be free from suffering its causes. We sincerely wish everybody to be happiness and to have peace and causes of peace and happiness. Then imagine, that our world will be completely transformed. We will have true peace and harmony and happiness in the world.
Mm.
That being said, of course, we as individuals cultivate great love and great compassion for others. And so when we do that, we as individual practitioners will experience the outcomes or the results of cultivating great love and great compassion for other sentient beings. So all these things I'm explaining to you, they should be tied back to the key point which I laid out before. So you must not lose focus of the key point I meant. What I said was that we must purify ourselves of negativities. There are many practices that would enable us to do that, but one of the most powerful and effective ways to purify our negativities, especially in relation to sentient beings, is to cultivate bodhicitta or altruism.
Oh yeah, that's what you do, you know, but someone never saw it, that goes on, you don't hear and you say good.
So that being said, cultivating bodhicitta is one of the most powerful practices to purify our negativities. But now if you ask, On the other side, we want to be free from all delusions, a deluded state of mind. So what kind of practice is available there for us, you know? And so in order to uproot delusions from within our mind, we need to cultivate the wisdom, realizing selflessness. In other words, we need to realize selflessness or emptiness to uproot delusions from within our mind, and it is no easy task to understand and realize the emptiness, because we need to rely on the valid reasonings. To be able to, you know, use, if you will, complete resources, you know, to understand, realize emptiness, the whole range of reasonings available in Buddhist literatures, we need to engage in the extensive and deep study of Buddhist literatures, which are very vast and profound. But on the other hand, you know, what we also need to understand here is that anything that exists, if something is existent, something exists, we must understand that it exists, you know, dependently, or it exists relatively. By that, what we mean is something exists in relation to something else, or depending upon something else. So we need to use the many different kinds of examples to understand what does dependent existence mean. So what I said earlier was that if something exists, if something is existent, then it is dependently existent or relatively existent. Now we are talking about what is called a phenomena here. And phenomena can be categorized into broadly into two types. We can talk about what is called produced phenomena or composite phenomena, Duje in Tibetan, Dujichu. So, you know, with regard to produced phenomena, we can understand that they are, in the way they exist is, they are dependent upon their causes and conditions. They are produced by their causes and conditions.
Great,
Arya Nagarjuna has, you know, stated very clearly in the Fundamental Wisdom Treatise of Mulya Madhyamika text that if something exists, that it would exist dependently. There is nothing that exists, you know, that is not dependent, dependently existent. So in other words, that every phenomenon that exists, it exists dependently. Let's, you know, use some examples to talk about how things are relatively existent or dependent existent. Now, let's say when we talk about, you know, this hill and that hill, now we can see how the relativity, you know, is so important to the existence here. So when we say, I'm over this hill only exists because in relation to that hill. If that hill doesn't exist, we cannot talk about this hill, can we? And the same way, that hill exists because of this hill. Or we often talk about, you know, self and others. they are relatively existent. If there are no others, they cannot be self. If there is no self, there cannot be others. So these are some examples, you know, to for us to understand, you know, what does relativity mean? What does, you know, dependent existence mean? So one might say that, okay, I understand, if, you know, something is produced by causes and conditions, then that is relatively existent or dependently existent. I get it, you know, because, you know, if without those causes and conditions, things cannot exist. Now, I get it. But what about, you know, what is called unproduced phenomena or non-composite phenomena? What about them? How do they exist relatively or dependently? So if we consider a whole wide range of issues and reasonings, we can understand what does dependent arising mean. Well, I mean, to begin with, unproduced or non-produced phenomena, they could only exist because there are such things as produced phenomena. Okay, so they, you know, if there are no produced phenomena, then there cannot be unproduced or non-produced phenomena, can they? And so when we talk about dependent arising, you know, we can talk about dependent arising in relation to external phenomena, how things are produced by causes and conditions, you know, in the outside world, if you will. We can talk about dependent arising in terms of our attitudes and state of mind. So the point I'm trying to make here is for us to be able to understand emptiness, shunyata or sunata, we have to understand the theory of dependent arising, and we have to understand relatively the reasonings of dependent arising.
That big was joy and Sanju just same time. Only to be sharing you but how we come have chas on us.
So the conclusion here is, of all the things I've been explaining so far, in order to purify delusions and negativities from within our mind, there are no more powerful practices or antidotes than bodhicitta or altruism and realizing emptiness.
So that is similar.
So whatever you know, as you say, study we engage in, and whatever kind of meditation or practice we are doing, we should all see that our study and practice are geared towards the development of altruism and realizing emptiness.
So
as we can see, you know, how important sentient beings are, in terms of our spiritual development, as I said earlier, that is in relation to sentient beings, we accumulate a lot of negativities and we experience delusions. But it's in relation to them that we purify ourselves of delusions and negativities. And cultivating bodhicitta and realizing emptiness are the two most powerful practices or antidotes to do that. And with regard to, like when we have bodhicitta, as I said, or when we cultivate bodhicitta, then we are not going to hurt any sentient beings, but rather we will always wish them to be happy and to help them. And in order to understand emptiness, we need to rely upon reasonings, valid reasonings. And one of the key things to understand emptiness is we need to understand that everything that exists, it exists as, mere labels. Things are nothing but mere labels onto their basis of labeling or imputation. That's what it is. Okay? So we need to understand how everything that exists is nothing but mere labels. So what we are really talking about is that everything exists because terms and concepts have been labeled onto them. And of course, what is really key to understanding this whole thing is how, you just cannot label anything that you want and it will become that. But there is such thing as what we call a valid basis of labeling. The basis of label or the imputation has to be valid. So onto a valid basis of label, when we give a label to that, using terms and concepts, then that's how everything exists, as mere labels. And nothing exists from its own side. Nothing exists objectively in and of itself. So that's why in the Buddhist literatures we often encounter terminologies such as mere labels, imputed phenomena. So what I'm saying here is, you cannot just go randomly and label anything you want, and then that's what we call mere label. A valid basis of label is a key factor here. For example, we cannot label ears as eyes. Why? Because ears do not function as eyes. Ears don't see. Ears hear things. Eyes see things. So you just cannot label ears as eyes because ears, and in that case, there is no valid basis of label here.
The same thing. Really, eyes and human doors. Because, actually, now all mixing the human doors.
So as you can see that we cannot just go and say, okay, let's call ears eyes today. That will work. No, it won't. Because ears hear things, don't see things. Eyes are meant to see things. So a valid basis of label or imputation is key thing here. So the point I'm making here is that you just somehow in your mind think that, okay, so everything is nothing but mere labels, so I can go around and just, change the labels of everything. I'll just call anything randomly, whatever comes to my mind, and that would work fine. No, it won't. So So I hope these things, you know, that I have shared today are, you know, useful to you, and I have, you know, done that just, you know, for my own sake and for your sake.
Honest. That causing a tense of the machine, is
So now we will go back to where we left off in this text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadampa Geshe's Advices.
Rich person, Tama Chivi Tsenas, Rich Poem Pomos, Rich Poem, Nina Puston, Rich Poem Pomos, Tama Chivi Tsenas, Ran Chivi Tsenas, and Lama Tangs, Rang Lama Tang. Chow chebrajin rang lo chudwa tunzo ane nyangye ta yimuk shirung ma yukis rang shidu tsani unye kone ta dukwe tani ta shiri shidu tsani pe ta karishe gure nga shiyal tusun ta karishe gure sa lama dende shurush ta yeshirush se tende tende gata shi gwe jishina ta rang ane chiyo dhumne ta tayu dhilte ane ta tenda kimba madrubares So that rang lama tang, rang lama tang, and rang chudra tang, and it is the youngest of the chabris, that the name Majibich. Chu Jimne, she is the guy in the talking of Chabich Gogaris.
Just to recapitulate, you know, the last line that I explained maybe last week. And here in the text, Aditya addresses, you know, his students as all sons of noble lineage. Okay, we can use all daughters of noble lineage here. It doesn't matter, sons and daughters of noble lineage. You know, as spiritual practitioners, you know, you need to do your practice well. Otherwise, you know, if otherwise at end of your life, you might or we might disappoint our gurus and our friends, and they really become very sad for us. Okay, and so that would be a tragedy for spiritual practitioners. What we're really talking about here is this, that, you know, we kind of assume that, okay, I'm practicing, but we really don't do our practice well. But then at the time of the death, now we started to kind of freak out. And then we just kind of started to become really very frustrated. And now we kind of become helpless, and we go through all this cries of lamentation, and then we just plead the friends, okay, can you invite this lama and that lama, and, you know, do this and do that. So then that would really make our friends and gurus, you know, sad and disappointed, because after all, that all the things we thought we were practicing or we didn't practice well, now the life is coming to an end with no meaning.
Yes. 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 Yes.
In the Lamrim treatises, it is said that the best kind of practitioners, you know, at the time of their death, you know, they die with so much joy and happiness. They will face the death with much happiness.
Ta, chevan drinki ina, metsirase ta, gagi na trohi na chichi yuwa marde ina ta, chevala tsegu yuwa ma ta, chi ndigiri ta, chena ndigiri sam, ta tindi sam chobachi, kan yungo ya ta.
And mediocre practitioners, at the time of their death, they may not be happy to die, but at least, you know, they have certain confidence in them, you know, in their mind and heart to be able to face death. So they said, okay, I did my best as best as I could, and this is the end of the life. So they are not necessarily happy to die or face the death, but they are not going to freak out. They have confidence.
Oh yeah, that children is tamadi. Tamadi ta. Ani chikan jwegi ta, ta ke shung ma sung san ta jyabas cheni te halam ta ngoyal zham tu ta ten reke ani chaga namzhi kyo jubi kuy she, kyo yang ta wajima jubi she ta ten re chaybi ina ani chikan lama ta And the
the least kind of practitioners, literally translated in Tama, you know, they are the ones at the time of death. Now they will die with much regret, and maybe they will just, you know, break down and cry like anything. And because this is happening to them, because their whole life they just kind of assume that things are going well and they're practicing well, but pretty much life has been spent in this kind of assumptions and facade of being a practitioner. And now that death strikes, you break down. And so this is what happens with what are called the least kind of practitioners.
Kadampi ani ta kadampi geshi kuman namba ke ani sungjuete ani langrug nam dus kwe nambres.
So what I've just quoted from or referred to Lamrim are the ones actually, the records of what the great Kadamba geshis have said, and based upon their experiences.
So the ta ngaranso sosi santongres. Kewa rabji shiyad samtang yueba, nrinji shiyad samtang yueba ta, tamaji shiyad samtang ta, sosi lali yore ta tanda.
So we have to consider our own situation, each of us personally and individually. Do I want to be the best kind of practitioner? Or do I want to be a mediocre kind of a practitioner, or do I want to be the least kind of a practitioner? And right now, things are in our hand.
It
doesn't matter on what level of practice we are on. As spiritual practitioners, we need to, develop aversion to a worldly interest of this lifetime. I
think
it's the best kind of practitioners who completely renounce the worldly activities and interests. But any kind of practitioner need to cultivate sense of renunciation. It just may be the difference of degrees.
That thing in but any tanda jo kadum bi tan from the jayu juni ke any sung te any karse ta lambru chejung na ko no do was.
I think why that's important has been recorded in the Lamrim, quoting the words of Kadamba, the master Domten Pa or Domten Gevechungne.
No, no. Miki Ganta, Ali Dari Mangun to take his name. Miki Ganipe Koran and that Karina Chimbachi, Pat Chimbachi. I'm making that the Korakon Dogues and any quota. The Korakon machine and the Koran Midil Musi and the Chi. That's Nissan Tani. Uncle Tak Kanji, me till Patsuya Gata, Kimi Lindesini, making that and W. Magic, Ched, and the Koran Korako Chimbri.
So let me tell you an anecdote, here to illustrate a point, what does practicing really mean? And it is said that, during the time of great Kadamba Geshe Domtenpa, there was, one person, he saw everybody circumambulating a temple or a stupa. So he didn't have any feeling about it, he didn't know anything, but he just thought, well, if I don't do that, then I'm just kind of maybe seen as anti-social person here, and I don't belong to anybody. So just for the sake of socialization, he just kind of went around and just, followed everybody else and tried to circumambulate, stupa.
Then
And And Drom Tenpa, I mean, was able to, you know, read his motivation, and he just went to the person, and he's very respectfully, he said, Joe literally means, oh, master, but maybe the better word say, hello, mister, and what are you doing? And the guy said, well, I'm circumambulating here. He said, well, that's really nice, but don't you think it's better to do a, you know, a practice?
Thank ta kora tan di kora ko ye te chure ge me bresam ane ndu se ne ane che lo ne de bin da.
So don't you think it's better to you know, maybe the better way said, don't you think it's better to cultivate dharma?
Yeah.
And then the guy thought, well, maybe going round the stupa is not considered you know, cultivating dharma, so better I should just sit down and read scriptures. So now he started to do that. So then one day, the next day, Drom Tenpa saw him, and he saw him just, you know, reading scriptures, and then he went to him and said, oh, master, you know, hello, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm practicing Dharma here, you know, I'm reading Dharma scriptures. And then again, Drom Tenpa said, well, that's nice of you, but don't you think it's better to, you know, cultivate Dharma?
Tāng kōng tā tīyān chūyā rāngā mē rūsā, tāng dō sī tsok tsō sī dēni, nō sī gōm jē kūy, tā dō sī nī, sī lō tā pē, tā gōm jē, gōm jē kī kā, zō tā nā pē sī tō sī, dō sī nī, tā dēng mē. Tā chūrā kā rā sī kā tē pē nī kā rā sī, nī gōm jē chū sī kūy sī kā, hībir tā.
So then the guy said, oh, well, I think reading the Dharma scriptures doesn't seem to be considered as cultivating Dharma or practice Dharma. Okay. So the next day, you know, he started to sit in a nice meditational posture. So he looked good from outside. He looked like he's meditating, you know. And then again, Drom Tenpa came to him and he said, hello, oh, there you are. And what are you doing? He said, I'm meditating. And again, Drom Tenpa repeated the same thing. He said, well, it's nice that what you're doing, meditation, but don't you think it's better to cultivate Dharma? Well, now the guy kind of got a little confused, and he ran out of his options, you know. At the beginning, he never thought of asking someone, or at least him, how to do practice. So he just, you know, went through his options, and he, you know, went through the three options, and he ran out of options. So he thought, well, maybe I should ask this, you know, guy. Then he said, wow, okay, so could you tell me, you know, what does cultivating Dharma mean? What does practice mean?
Then, this was the name. Tse lue tong su ka nam, ta? Tse lue tong su ka nam, sa na kare sa na diri, tse ndi ini togu tong su tan rila ini hien cha ma shi su ka nam.
And then Drom Tenpa said, well, you should renounce this life. So what does renounce this life mean? Means like, is like, you know, give up attachment and clinging to things of this life, such as food, clothing, shelter, and other things. So in other words, the message we should get out of this as spiritual practitioners is that we should not do our practice with motives to benefit just this lifetime, you know, to you know, food, clothing, shelter, you know, big name and a lot of money, whatever, you know, Kishore didn't say the money, but to make the point. And if we do that, if we do with some ulterior motives, even if we think we are doing practice, our practice doesn't become practice, or it does not constitute cultivating Dharma. Because when we talk about cultivating Dharma, we have to think in terms of benefits for our future lives. Well, now you might think like, okay, now that seems so unrealistic, you know, if I don't work, if I don't make money, then, you know, how does things work? You know, you mean like stop everything, don't work, don't, you know, make money?
You can do. 다 내가 제일 초그랬어. 내가 제일 초그래. 아니, 응, 랜 초그랬어. 가래에서 나 있나고, 랜야 돼. 코드 차고 시엔디, 마셔봐 시엔디. 데 흉바 때 랑크, 아니, 추조에고, 퉁신 땅기 인, 퉁신 인삼바 시엔디. 디 체도, 아니, 내가 시엔디, 쟤들 마셔봐 시엔디. 디, 아니, 근데 그 내가 시엔디, 아, 뺀나 수술 농쇼, 흉바 때, 아니, 추조에고, 퉁신, 인삼바 시엔디, 녹시엔디, 쌈등에 바탕 거래.
Well, I mean, we don't, you could do, meaning like, you know, you can do your work, that's what Kesala meant. I mean, you can do your work, you can make money, but the thing is that we need to change our motivations, why we are doing those things. You know, perhaps the issue is not so much working and making money or living, but the issue is attachment to the things we do. Getting attached to, you know, money, getting attached to name, getting attached to, you know, all bunch of things. And that's what the issue is. But with, you know, spiritual motivation, with proper motivation, we can say, okay, I need to realistically work and make an earning, but I work so that I have the resources or the conditions to do spiritual practice. So it is for that reason I'm there to work, you know, to make some living. And in this case, that's fine.
And 사실 힘입니다. 샌들레 차나 최바 민스 가능. 아니 코알레 차나 민중 민스.
I think it was great Sakya Pandita, you know, who talks about four what are called detachments or non-attachments, and he said if you are attached to this life, you are not a spiritual or dharma practitioner, dharma person. He said. And second, he said, if you are attached to samsara, and then you don't have renunciation.
So that, that since then, so so any kuge karse gula ta, since dekhan ke ta, re shawat le ani so so legacy ya ta, so so le thunchin yo ke che to so so legacy chugu are karse ni na ni na ya ta. Some of the Tavatan Gardensen, and then I'm to be Tinjin down. However, they are singing Yen and Murdy, Cassayana Tatin de Huari.
So the key point is that, you know, we need to, how should I say, I mean, reorient our motivation and thinking here that, you know, with wish to, you know, have the proper conditions to do practice, with wish to benefit all other, many others, and with that kind of motivation, we can go to work, we can make, you know, money, and so use those things to support our practice, to benefit others. In which case, that's fine, whatever we are doing.
Nice.
So the, I mean, the whole the issue here is in our way of thinking, attitudes, motivations, and you know, not so much in you know, how to say, you know, making money or going to work. I must have used this example many times before, and those of you who have been attending teachings a long time students, you know this already, you know, but there are things we need in our lives, and we do need them. For example, one of the things we need is a restroom. You know, we have a nature's call, but we need it, we build restroom, we use it, but, you know, we are not attached to the restroom. Or are we?
Oh yes. That is it. That you better than that. Around the same time, Kaluni doing this, should I yan yander Majena? Near Church in Hamia, Church of Kazat Zogris canal. Majida Rangi in his same time, Kalusi. Because
And then great Adisha goes on to say that we should often check our own state of mind against the principles of teachings of Dharma to find out whether our mind is is our mind is integrated with the teachings of Dharma or not. If we don't do that, we might assume that we are practicing Dharma or following Dharma, but in reality we may not. There could be disparity between our state of mind or way of thinking and what Dharma stands for or teaches us.
Par rang che dret yin an dai yin an ta yin kan yin na ya ane a san ji ka ta den de ne ka yi gung ba dan de min ti ba jo me de ne ji ga ma shi de de ge ge do ne ja gu re shi de rang she na she ya ma ri ja gu re mi yin she na ti ge shi dan ya ma shi.
So as practitioners, we have to always check our way of thinking, with the principles of Buddha's teachings and what is said by Buddha in his original teachings, as well as what the commentators have, commented upon Buddha's teachings. And if we find that what we're thinking is in alignment with, goes well with the teachings, then we should follow it. What others are doing are in alignment with the teaching, then we could follow them. But if we find that what we are thinking is against the Dharma principles, teachings, or what others are thinking against the Dharma, then we must not follow, either ourselves or others.
Mi yindak dili sekunda nyenji ya maa shite. Kanji sanji ki sungta tingu mido na kani ki yina ya. Koi yajari maa to teta ngewa chanda shi kyu ya maa shite. Shinda tinga rang negu ya shite.
So as we do the self-examination, whether our way of thinking or state of mind accords with Buddha's teachings or not, and if we find that it does not, then we have to stop it. We must not make any other excuses like, yeah, Buddha said it, I know, but that's difficult. No such excuses, and no such excuses to follow others' actions which go against their teachings. We have to, really believe in Buddha's teachings and follow his teachings.
No, no. And take care. That in the machine, round the church, you have something in there. That Sanji Sunda, and then that Lama Tending rank Dangata, and then two in the machine.
So if we don't really check our state of mind or what we're doing, against Buddha's teachings and against the instructions of the lamas or the gurus, without relying upon their teachings, it would be hard for us to find out things on our own. So we might, just assume that we are doing fine and practice, but in reality, what we do may not constitute Dharma practice. Lama's instructions and Buddha's teachings, if we have to make a choice, we have to go with Buddha's teachings.
This that Kansa Lama to Chulatugus Kananduwa.
When we talk about the four types of reliance, it is said that we must not rely upon a person, but rely upon teaching. So it doesn't matter what the person looks like or whatever, but what he or she says is a Dharma. That's more important. We have to rely upon the teaching, but not on the person.
All right. That rang the same that you need to kakali chimpi yinan, zoi yinan, zoi kakali chimpi yinan. An kari yung kusun, ane kiwi tsena asin ta, rang kiwi tsena, shangju tsena njombe ta mepa, ane ngan sun tshie ta toni, ane ta susil pe dunghe kimbushie ki ta chakaris kani.
So what happens, if there is a disparity between our state of mind, way of thinking, and Buddha's teaching, or the Dharma, if you say, so what? Well, in that case, that at the time of the death, instead of seeing positive indicative signs of development of bodhicitta, we might see the signs which indicate that we will be reborn in unfortunate states of rebirth. And when that happens, it is a tragedy and it is going to be very sad.
Uh-uh. Oye, está todo, tren te llaga, chale te llaga y eso.
No.
Because
I was checking with Geshe-la that next week on July 29th, which is Saturday, is going to be a very auspicious day. It is Buddha's turning of the wheel of Dharma, or Buddha's first sermon or teachings. And I was checking whether there was something happening at TDL. So usually we don't have anything happening there, but what Geshe-la wants to say is on days like that auspicious, you know, maybe we want to refocus ourselves on our practice and not just doing the daily commitment. Maybe we will, you know, as you might say, extra mile here and try to focus more on practice. So that is July 29th, Saturday, which is the Buddha's turning of the wheel of Dharma. So I think the following day would be Sunday, where we have teaching, and then you know, we could commemorate the previous auspicious day. So the following Sunday, which should be the July 30th, you know, I will not go through this our Kadamba text. I will just, you know, speak on very briefly though on the 12 principal deeds of Buddha, our historical teacher, and also about his, you know, Four Noble Truths, you know, which was the subject matter of his first teaching. This couple of days has been very hot days, and despite that you make the effort to come down here to the teaching, and then I acknowledge that, and that's very good of you. And so together we have accumulated positive energy or merit, and let's dedicate it properly. Let us dedicate our collective merit for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other great holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all unwanted pains and problems, and may all beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
In short, we dedicate our merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state soon.
Ya kadipi. Tadi mal ke tunda shuma de chage chogo de chenge. Ona special. Ona special. Ya kadipi.